Hello, welcome to GT Radio. Welcome to another episode of GT Radio, conversation with moi, myself, Tino Magnetta, and a whole bunch of other people out there. And today we have a very special guest and a good friend of mine, a great leader from a family that is just amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ernie Stevens III, also known as E3. How's it going, Ernie?
Hey, man, how you doing? Thanks for having me on the show, man. It's an honor. It's a pleasure.
No problem. So let's just cut to the chase here, because I know I've wondered, where does the E3 thing come from? I know that your grandfather was the original Ernie Stevens, right?
Right.
And what he was pretty active in politics too himself. He was a major man.
Yeah, he's definitely paved. Well, honestly, I have to say my great grandmother Maria, was a major component to his legacy. Really, she started the legacy, and arguably ancestors before that. It's a really strong family lineage, and that I'm very proud of. But and I can go on and on about my great grandmother, my grandfather. I loved him very much. But the thing with Ernie, I got to tell you, go even farther back, the original Ernie Stevens, according to my great-grandmother, Maria Hinton, his mother, of course, there was a boy in her class at the boarding school that she went to that was named Ernie, and she thought the boy was really cute. And so she always said, I'm going to name my first child after this boy. And, of course, she didn't marry this kid. She just remembered him, and just when he was born, she was trying to think of a name, and that's who she thought of. So that's where the name Ernie came from. And then, of course, my father, Ernie Jr., and then myself, Ernie III. And then the E3 moniker came from my license plate when I went off to college. I didn't know what to get, and we had personalized plates here at the United Nation. And I just I couldn't think of anything more unique, so I just said, well, E, and then the Roman numeral 3, and it's pretty simple. Easy to remember, too, so I couldn't go and do any drive-off at the local gas stations because it's pretty easy to remember.
That's a good one.
Of course, but yeah, so that's where E3 comes from, and just, I always had the license plate, so throughout the years, it just kind of naturally, people just started calling me E3. On a personal level and a professional level. It's kind of funny how it just kind of stuck. So
it's easy to remember, like you said, and it sounds good. You mentioned boarding school, right?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that. Was that during the whole, what year was that? Was that like in the 40s or 50s or?
Well, let's see here. I may get these dates wrong. I believe.
That's okay.
My great grandmother, she went through all of them. She went to the original Oneida boarding school here at Oneida when she was just a child. And again, I can go on about these stories. I mean, we don't have the time in the show to do it, but so I'll sum this up as best I can. And then she had gone on to Mount Pleasant, Michigan. And then did some time at Haskell. And the dates, I don't remember the exact dates.
Yeah.
I actually have these dates in the stories, in video interviews, which I'm very happy that I got those. So I should probably review those. But, of course, it was that time. I want to say, right around, I think, the late teens through 1920, I believe, was when she was at Haskell.
Wow.
So we're talking long time ago. And I want to say I don't want to give any dates. I know I'll get them wrong, but she's been on this earth until her, of course, when she passed away. She's had been on this earth for 103 years.
Wow.
And
incredible.
Yeah. So she's Yeah. So she went through all that, went through the Great Depression, all those things, and
yeah, great
yeah.
people. So you I mean, your grandfather was very active in public service for Native Nations. Your dad is the president of NIGA, chairman of NIGA. You know, Brandon sits on is the vice chair of Oneida. You're on the development committee of Oneida. Your sister is involved also with helping Native. I mean, it's a. What do you attribute that to? Where does that come from?
You know, the best way I can explain it is it's in our blood. It's in our genes. You know, all through my life, I've always had a saying that, you know, we all have our own skills and abilities and our ways of doing things. Ultimately, it always comes back to number one, taking care of our families, and number two, helping our communities, and whatever we can do after that, we help all Native nations. And I think that's just, it's hard to explain except to say that it's just in our genes, something that just, you know, it just gets passed down, you know, and having grown up and seen, even to what limited extent they've seen with my grandfather. You know, I've heard a lot of stories. I mean, you know, my own personal experience is very, very limited to what he actually accomplished, even going back to his service in, you know, as a Marine, you know, in the Korean War. And it's just a lifelong, I guess, a lifetime of leadership and service. So it just kind of spills down more or less, you know, it happens on purpose and it just happens indirectly, and it's just who we are. We follow the same path. We just leave our own individual footsteps. You know, that was my saying. But yeah, it's just the way it is. And yeah, looking at my own children, they're already doing those things. They're already their own little individual leaders, and they're growing fast. And it's just amazing that it just proved to me that it's taught more or less. But I think at the end of the day, like I said, it's just in our blood.
Yeah, it passes from one generation to another, and you have some great mentorship going on, not only in your own family, but in the whole Oneida Nation. It seems there's just a lot of great leaders have come out of there, Rick Hill and the whole, just everybody. It's a pretty amazing thing.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I think you probably may have heard some of these stories, but, you know, we grew up very, very poor. I just had this conversation the other day with my father, just kind of reminiscing, you know, in the old days. And, you know, but I would say because of family, because of the rich community that we have here, you know, we really were blessed and rich in that way. You know, we'd be out Rice Lake, Ladysmith, or Haskell, wherever we were, struggling. And then we'd come home and we were just fine, you know, because we had family and people in this community. I can list a lot of people, you know, that were mentors, were helpers, were leaders, and yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, just blessed to be from this community and this family, of course.
Yeah, and that's sort of the theme that runs through most of Native Nations. You know, just you know, a lot of the leaders that I've interviewed, where they came from, and now where they are now. It's been a pretty incredible journey. Tell us a little bit about, I know you just got elected to the Oneida Nation Development Committee. Tell us a little bit about that, you know, the committee and your position and all that.
It did. It's actually the Oneida Business Committee. So I'm an elected official of the Oneida Nation of Wisconsin, and that's what we call our committee. And I was elected in July, and it was my first time being elected to this. And for the longest time, you know, I go back to the same, you know, we all walk the same path and leave our different, you know, our own individual footprints. Well, you know, I saw, you know, the direction my brother was going into, and my father had gone into, and you know, I had other things that I wanted to do, and I don't regret that. You know, I spent a lot of time doing a lot of different things in my life and my career. But I think that, you know, what that did for me coming into this election is I had a very diverse set of skills and backgrounds, you know, and you know, we're all also raised humble. So you go through life, from college education to your, you know, professional experiences, and you proactively teach yourself, or you seek out knowledge to be, you know, as educated and knowledgeable as you can. Because, you know, my grandfather, I have to go back to him. He had a saying he used to say. He said that we're put on this earth to learn as much as we possibly can to prepare our spirits for the next world. I just think that's very powerful, you know, and you know, it just says a lot. You can think and ponder on that for a long time. So I just got, you know, he would tell me that when I was a child. And so that stuck with me, and I always go back to that when I look at, you know, education and knowledge. So that's coming into this election, you know, I don't wear, you know, my resume on my sleeve, but I do, you know, have a very diverse set of skills. That I just, you know, for the first time thought that it was time to pursue this and, you know, public service to my community. And I was, you know, a lot of people have wanted me to, you know, I've had a lot of people I respect a great deal, sort of pushed me into it, you know, of course, including my father, that wanted me to do this. And it, up until now, it just wasn't my thing. And then I pursued it, you know, campaigned, and by a very close margin, I was elected. So.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I mean, if you think about
All the leaders in your family and what your family has done for Native Nations, it's pretty incredible. Just an incredible thing. So, give us, you mentioned a little bit about, you know, growing up poor and all that, but give us a little bit more detail about your memories growing up. You talked about the community. How was it? Because when you grew up, it was before the casinos were there, right?
Yeah, you know, I recall these years and these dates. I can go back as far as remembering, like the first, you know, where the bingo hall used to be, and so I do have those memories. But, you know, I guess if I go back to childhood, I do remember a lot more than, you know, my parents probably realize. And what my memory tells me is, again, yeah, we grew up poor, but we were rich in family and in love. And so, we, you know, from Haskell to Monsignor College up at Ladysmith, and then my father's work as a sheriff's deputy at Rice Lake. I mean, all these different memories and different points in our lives, you know, from having a house that, you know, is actually quite nice that we're renting, to being evicted and move into a house that, you know, you look back now, it's like, you just can't believe you lived in this place, or, you know, so all the different things that you go through, and, you know, when you recall how you felt at that time, you just were a kid, you know, and you were loving life, and you had your ups and downs, and we had a lot of, you know, we had some different deaths in the family that were very painful, you know, for us. Throughout the years, but for the most part, a lot of good memories, you know. And that's what I think about when I look back at that part of life, and then you come home to the Oneida community, and still, you know, still struggling, and that's really where I recollect the hard work that both my mother and father did to push to get us and advance in our lives, and, you know, eventually, you know, just having a little bit more comfort in life. You know, we never were rich, you know, ever, but always, like I said, always had that family. And so that's how I look at it, is you just kind of learn from that, and you learn hard work and discipline. And I learned it from my parents. And, you know, so now today I look back, I'm very fond of my, you know, my upbringing and my family history. You know, there's nothing sad about it. Even if we're getting evicted out of houses every 6 months, you know, I enjoyed my childhood.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Now, I know, you know, your dad and I spent quite a bit of time together all the time, and he's always talking about education, you know, to get educated, go to university, And I'm sure there's some people out there that are listening on, you know, all over the country. Tell us a little bit about your view on that, and also, you know, what, how that changed your life, you know, when you went to school and the schools that you went to.
Well, yeah, you know, again, yeah, my grandfather was always a steward for higher education, as you know, and my father was as well, of course, and you know, it was all about self-discipline, hard work, getting your education, listening to your teachers, learning, you know, having an open mind, and you know, having that open mind, an open heart, really is what I guess is how I was able to learn throughout my life. And so I go back to that line, you know, we're put on this earth to learn as much as we can. And so when I think of it that way, it just makes it such a more diverse approach to learning, you know. And you go to school, you know, you go to college, and you say, I want to learn this. This is the education I want to get. I want to be this when I grow up. And even though, you know, I believe I had a pretty set path in my college career, and of course, you know, high school, and then other things, I still was very curious about a lot of things. You know, there was a period in time where I learned a lot about weather and climate and geography. And I happen to know quite a bit in that area, and you know, and was, I think, like 6 credits away from being a, where I can be a licensed meteorologist. You know, I loved writing. I wanted to do films. I wanted to, it's just, you know, I was kind of an eclectic that way because I wanted to do so many things. And in the process, I just learned a lot about all these areas. So by the time I graduated, my degree was, I think it was radio, TV, film, communications from UW Oshkosh. And it was a second college I had transferred from UWM. Because, again, I was kind of picky, too. Like, you know, if the program wasn't, you know, if I wasn't learning anything, I didn't want to waste my time. So I was always hungry for knowledge and education. And after college, I think what really attributed to my professional career was I didn't stop learning. I didn't stop teaching myself. I didn't stop seeking out knowledge. And a lot of it I did by just jumping into different professions and doing different things in different industries. I just wanted to learn about it. So that was always been my approach, and it still is. I'm still learning to this day. And it's just a lifelong philosophy that it's not going to stop, you know, it's not going to stop ever. So, yeah, that's that.
Yeah, it's pretty important. Education is so important to advance forward. And you know, if you think about it, and what the casinos have brought to the Native Nations is the ability for people to have access to education when they never had access to that before. So that's a pretty amazing thing. Now, I know that you've done a lot of work in the iGaming space, and you know a lot about it. Tell us a little bit about that space right now and where we're at.
Well, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's still, like, a lot of people are unsure of where it's going, and I think that, you know, it's an industry or a sub industry, if I may, that I've been involved in for the last, you know, about 9-10 years almost now, and you know, there's a lot of changes that have gone through and a lot of adjustments that have been made. You know, of course, it was a very successful industry overseas and in Europe. And so now we're at the situation where, you know, and I'm in a situation where it's somewhat frustrating, but yet inspiring in a way where, you know, I've been talking about this for a long time. You know, I've been talking to different, you know, individuals, and of course, my father at NIGA and my own tribe, and just to kind of get ahead of it. And so now we're in a situation where we have to prepare, we have to be ready, and we don't know what's going to happen. But at the end of the day, you know, there's opportunities out there. You know, we have a lot of different, you know, there's a lot of different companies that are even tribes that are trying to do their own thing. And I think it's going to be a unique situation that it's going to have to take, you know, tribes banding together. And I think, you know, through what's known as the Tribal Gaming Network, you know, that's one step towards a national network based economy. Then you got things like, you know, cryptocurrency. You got other different things that are playing into it. There's a lot of opportunities being created. Industries are coming together into this space, and it's just because of all that's happened. It's a very fast moving vehicle, and you know, and tribes have to be very careful and very thoughtful when they look at it. And now we're in a situation where we know we have to get involved. We know we have to have a stake in it. We have to be proactive. We got to put ourselves out there, you know, and maybe risk involved. So to me, it's a philosophical answer, but you know, I've been barking it for years, and I think I'm not surprised in how, you know, we're just now kind of really, you know, getting sinking our teeth into this, but we still have time, and I think that it's just going to take open-mindedness and communication from the tribal gaming entities to the non-tribal entities, and forge that partnership much in the way we did when gaming first was formed. So it's not that much different. But at the end of the day, you know, we have to think of, you know, our tribal communities. We have to go back to that and figure out, okay, what's best for our people across Indian country. And not an easy choice. So I don't have the answer, but that's my thoughts on that, you know, and I think I'll be involved in this for a long time, because it's, like I said, I've been in it for a while, and it's the future. So, you know, I just hope we're ready for it.
Yeah, it's always an advantage if you're ready for the next thing that's coming up, you know. And I think that this space that you're talking about is definitely, you don't know when it's going to happen, you know. Laws can change, and, you know, I just read an article today about gambling, pushing for gambling, sports betting being legalized, and I know in some states it already is, but they want to expand that. So, you know, you don't really know what's going to happen. So I guess your message is be prepared, right?
Be prepared. It's not too late. But it's time to be assertive as well. You know, we can't sit and watch anymore. We gotta start making some moves.
Yeah, get set up, get your infrastructure done and everything.
Yeah.
Give me a little bit of a feel of what your feelings are for your generation in Native Nations. You know, what how do you see your peers and your generation, and what should they be doing to, you know, move forward, you know, in the right way for the future?
Well, I think just even looking at this, our new business committee here at Oneida, you know, my brother's vice chair, we have Daniel Guzman King, who's a newly elected councilman as well. You know, we have a young group, or of course, Tahasi Hill, our chairman, you know, and I think that we all understand, but, you know, I think we all know how to answer that, and I think we do it by just leading, and that's not even just in our day-to-day functions on the OBC, but just in life, you know, from the culture standpoint, from the family standpoint, you know, so, you know, I expect my peers to do those things, and I guess you lead by example. And I there's other people in this community that I look up to as well, you know, from all ages. A lot of them peers, you know, stuff that they do and that they know how to do. And it's like, I want to do that. I want to learn that. So I think in my particular generation, you know, it's a very, if they call it shared learning type of generation. We're all very, you know, we're good team members, team workers, so to speak, you know, and a lot of people come together in this community alone to do things and get things done. So, you know, it's really just that, you know, that kind of inspires me. And you look back at the young kids, and you want them to do the things the same way that you did, but, you know, they think differently. And so it's figuring that out and figuring out how to cater to that as best you can. But all I can do is you know, continue to learn and continue to share knowledge as well. And I think we have I think it's a very strong generation. You know, everybody works hard. You know, everybody has each other's back. That might just be a community thing. But we're at a place where we're there now. We have to be the leaders. We have to pick up where some of the our elder statesmen or elder leaders have spent so many years doing things. We have to kind of help. You know, we have to take over at some point. So not take over, but, you know, carry our weight, and at some point carry the heavyweight.
Yeah, pass the baton.
Yeah. We're ready. I'm ready. A lot of people around us are ready. You see so many amazing young leaders all across Indian country. I can name a lot of them. Maybe they're listening, but there's a lot of them I look up to. And so I think Indian country is in good hands in that regard. You know, from all different industries, from government to gaming to the other potential future industries that we face. Yeah, I think we're in good hands. I think we're going to be just fine.
Yeah, and I mean, talk about an example. I mean, the elders with what they had to work with, what they've accomplished is pretty extraordinary. All the elders and leaders in Native Nations.
Yeah, and that's just it. You know, they did all the hard work. They've done so many things.
Yeah.
Blood, sweat, and tears. You know, it should get easier every generation, right? You know, and everyone has their struggles, but that's just it. You know, there's so many people you can talk about and mention. Most I probably don't even know of. You know, and just subconsciously push in their honor. You know, all the work they did for to make it easy for you to do the same things for your generation.
Yeah, and it's like you said, they had a pretty hard blood, sweat, and tears, right?
Yeah. Yep. So, but it's inspiring.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I spent a lot of time interviewing a lot of those kind of folks too. You know, leaders throughout the Indian country, and from Billy Mills to I can think of so many different people. So those interviews, you learn a lot, you know, by hearing those stories, and that's an important part too. Is you know, Indian people are humble, so when we go through life and have all these accomplishments, we don't just go talk about them. But if you ask, we'll be happy to tell you. You know, we'll tell you a story. So that's where I learned a lot about that. And of course, my father, knows a lot about a lot of different people, and some of my own family members. So you learn about that. That's a big part of it. You know, it's inspires your leadership as well, knowing that history.
Yeah, and the elders, a lot of those elders, they went through a pretty rough rough road, that's for sure. There's no question about that. Let's talk a little bit about the next generation. What advice do you have for Dan, the ones who want to be leaders, the ones who want to break into the casino business? What advice do you have for them?
I think it's, as speak as generally as possible, I think it's two main things. Number one, find your passion, find your skill. You know, if you have two things that go together in that regard, use that, but be open to a lot of different things. You know, I tell people all the time, don't say you want to do this or do that. You know, just know that you're gonna grow up in life, your interests will change. You'll learn new skills. You do a lot of different things, and I say keep an open mind and open heart. But you know, find your skill, find your passion, and you might be able to do a lot of different things in your life, and just continue to gain knowledge. You know, just learn learn, ask questions. You know, we got Google now, you know. I used to read a lot of books before we had Google. I read books. You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's a valuable thing that I think we've lost. And I would, you know, my kids, you know, they read. I make sure that they read books and don't spend time on their screens too much. But that's one thing I think that just, you know, read books. You know, don't just look at the computer. There's so much knowledge. And then, you know, talk to your elders. You know, just take the time and spend some time with an elder or not just an elder, even just someone who has some knowledge to share. That's what's going to drive us and be successful in what we do.
Yeah, because there's such a wealth of knowledge out there. It's just a matter of going out and searching it out.
Right. It's everywhere. It's crazy. I mean, this goes into a whole different discussion, but, you know, knowledge is literally everywhere, you know, and, you know, we won't go there, but, you know, when I talk about brainwaves, you know, the very thoughts that come into our mind, you know, sometimes, you know, they're there because our brains are susceptible to that message. And if it's an idea, if it's a thought, a random, random thought or whatever, it seems random, but I think it's there because your brain caught onto it. Your brain pulled it out of the ether, out of the air, so to speak. And sometimes that idea might change your life or someone else's. So, use those ideas, use those thoughts. So just one thing, knowledge is literally everywhere.
Yeah, and the idea is king. I mean, the idea can change everything. So if you're around the people who are creative and come up with ideas, you know, especially the elders, they have such a vast pool of knowledge from all the years and all the struggles. You know, they're the ones that they should turn to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what's in your sights for the future? What are you looking to accomplish on the development committee, and, you know, what's on your plate for the future?
Well, you know, here at NIDA, you know, we're in a position where, like I said before, very similar to what Indian country is facing, is we got to start making some moves. We got to start, you know, trying new things. We got to diversify. We got to do it carefully. So I'm looking in those areas. How do we, on a business side, advance our economic status, you know, within and outside of gaming? But also, how do we sustain ourselves? How do we prepare ourselves, our children, and our grandchildren for the future, you know, through sustainable foods, sustainable living, you know, all those things. So that kind of, you know, without going into all the details of, you know, what I hope to achieve, you know, as a councilman, it's really heavy in those areas. So I'm not sure if I plan to be here long term, you know, 6 years, you know, maybe 6 years at the most. Who knows? Maybe I'll do this for a long time. But that's my goal. You know, our elections are every 3 years. So I'm just focused on, you know, some of the business side of things, getting some things done. And on the other hand, if you know, I pursue other things, I'm, like I said, I've got a lot of different goals and backgrounds and passions, you know, and who knows, you know, my future in front of me is a garden of forking paths, and which when I go down.
Yeah, there's a lot of options, and it's very exciting, definitely. So let's open it up to some questions here. I know we got a few people in here. Hang on one sec. Let's see.
Okay.
Hello, welcome to GT Radio. Do you have a question for E3?
Hey, Ernie, how are you doing? Golly.
Hey, how are you doing, Golly?
Hey, I've got two questions for you. They're not related, but the first question is how much pressure do you feel, you know, with your family heritage and especially with the Ernie Stevens, you know, lineage, you know, to kind of, you know, what kind of success do you feel pressure having that name? And, you know, what do you feel about that? And then do you think that if you didn't have that lineage, would you be doing something different?
Yeah, so the first question, the, you know, I wouldn't say I've ever felt pressure. I've always kind of kept lighthearted about it, and I've always said that having this name is both a gift and a curse. You know, I say that, of course, you know, jokingly, but, you know, it can prove to be that sometimes. But at the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of pride in that, you know, mostly from the family lineage I come from. So, yeah, I like the name, you know, and I never thought of, well, what if I had a different name? And would that be different? I think to some extent, yeah, it definitely would be. You know, some of the opportunities I've had, you know, may not have been there, but I think that my life, you know, may have been different. You know, but at the end of the day, I'm still who I am. You know, I don't do anything to anyone's, you know, standards per se, even though the standards are pretty similar to my father's and grandfather's, and it's really not much different. So I think my life would have been different if my name was, you know, Johnny. I don't know, but never really thought of it. You know, it's just my name. You know, it does make you wonder. You know, what paths have I gone? And I think, though, at the end of the day, like I said, I'm still me. I'm still guided by the same principles and passions. You know, and the life of service and life of just trying to help others through various means. But, yeah, I mean, best I can answer that.
Okay. I have one more question. This is going to be the toughest question you're going to get today. You ready?
I'm ready.
I'm assuming you're a Packers fan, so you can only answer one on this one. You can't give me a double answer, so... Your question is Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers. You get one choice. Who's gonna be your quarterback?
Oh, how much time do I got to make that decision? you get an hourglass sitting there.
You know who's playing tonight too.
Yeah. No. It's. Oh man, I can't answer that, man. I can't because one of my fondest memories is going to the game with my father and grandfather, and it was right, you know, it was a season where Brett Favre exploded, and I remember he ran in a touchdown and dove in. It was like an 8-yard run, you know, just fearless, and he dove in the end zone for a game-winning touchdown, and I was just like, This guy is a real deal, and he went on to become one of the best quarterbacks of all time. You know, Aaron Rodgers is undeniable. So, I don't know, man. I'll put it this way. For all the Patriots fans out there, you're going to say Brady versus Rodgers. You know, it's definitely Rodgers.
Well, that's not the question I asked.
Right. That's the best way I can answer that, though.
I knew that would be the toughest question you're gonna get. I knew you wouldn't be able to give me an answer.
It's tough. It's impossible to answer. It's impossible to answer.
But I will
say this.
I'll give you a pass on that.
Okay, but I will say this for any of my Chicago Bear fans out there listening right now, as we speak, I got a slow cooker. Cooking two bear roasts that we're going to eat at the game tonight.
Wow.
In honor of watching the Packers roast the Bears tonight. So there you go.
Wow. There you go. That's a good one. Thanks, Golly. Appreciate it. Hang on. Let's see what else we got here. All right. Hello, hello. This is GT Radio. You have a question for Mr. E3.
Yeah, hey. E3. It was pretty interesting when you mentioned you know, that you had your kids read books, you know, try to keep them off the screen. So I just wanted to know, I mean, when you were younger and, you know, just educating yourself, what kind of books did you read at that time? And what kind of books do you suggest that your kids read now?
Well, I guess it depends on how far you go back. You know, when I was real little, I really enjoyed the Choose Your Own Adventure books. And I couldn't go back and redo things because I had to have a fresh new idea, a fresh new story every time. So I would have multiple books and I had to read them all once. You know, there was only one adventure when I read those books. I don't know if you guys remember those. So I love reading those books. One of my favorite books, of course, is The Outsiders by S.C. Hinton. That's a book I make my kids read, and it's very interesting lessons in that book. Of course, one of my favorite movies too. But I was kind of, you know, I mean, read a lot of different books. A few Stephen King's greatest. My favorite, probably of all time, is a book called Omerta by Mario Puzo. Of course, the
author, I know that book.
Yeah. Omerta. So, yeah. Omerta, yes. Code of Silence.
Yeah, I know that one.
So. Yeah. Yeah, so I love that book. I still dream that it's made into a successful film one day. But that's when I've read about maybe, you know, 5-6 times. I mean, I can go on. I a lot of different books as I get older. And I actually, you know, of course, I wrote a lot of short stories as well. So, you know, I get inspiration from reading books. Trying to think. Yeah, there's a lot of them, you know. And my younger son Daniel is 9. He likes to read the Diary of a Wimpy Kid books. So he's
son likes that too.
Yeah.
So he's. And then did you see the movie? There was a movie too.
We saw the I think there was like 2 or 3 of the older ones. We didn't see the newest one yet.
They love those.
Yeah, we watched the movies and they say, oh yeah, you know, they refer things from the book and how it was different or how it was whatever. And the same thing I did, you know, like reading a book that's a movie. It's like, it's a little different, a little better. But yeah, they enjoy it. You kind of went from making them read to now they actually enjoy it. And, you know, I'm glad to see that. I enjoyed it.
That's great. Thank you, sir. Thank you. All right.
Yeah, thanks.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, hello.
Hello.
This is GT Radio. Who do we have?
Ernie Stevens Jr., the real Ernie.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, I thought I recognized that voice.
How are
you,
my friend?
How are you doing today? I'm doing good. Good to hear you guys' voice.
Yeah, we're doing great. You know, E3 is doing great, and we're having a good time with listening to all the stories and his wisdom and how Holly talks about your lineage and your family. So I'm sure you have a question for him, though, right?
Well, you know, that's kind of disguised my call as a question, but it's kind of like my father is kind of I talk, you listen kind of relationship. So I just called to, you know, to tell you how proud I am of my son and how proud I am of you, Tino, and your and our friendship. And I think the message that you guys create here through your radio show and the work that you guys do in your life helps to not just move Indian country forward, but is good for our world as a whole. So I just wanted to be able to tell you how proud I am of my son. He's kind of a rookie or whatever, you know. He's only been on the council for you know, a couple of days, I suppose. So he's got a long ways to go and a lot to learn. So but you know, I think that it's important to know that, you know, I might tease a little bit, but on a very serious side, Ernest III has one of the toughest jobs in the whole world. You know, I sat on the council 25 years ago. I went through the same experience that he's going through and learning a whole new world of advocacy, but being a veteran of helping people, veteran in the community. And one of the things that Ernest really brings to the table is really a key thing in this whole world today is being a loving, helping, guiding light as a father. And my father is the greatest guy in the whole world, still very much alive in the United Nations nursing home. But for whatever reasons, my parents were separated their ways, and I was raised by my mother. So those values, the beauty of a father is really important. I'm very proud of Ernest in that way. And so it's real important for me to say that I'm Ernest, while he's new, or I tease about being a rookie and being, you know, getting baptized by fire in this world of being a young councilman. He's been doing a lot of great things in our community, and as a father and a parent, a son, a brother, all of that stuff. So, you know, I think it's just he's the right person for the job. His whole life is in front of him, and I think that it's important to know that it's all, the work of advocacy is, it never stops, and there's no limits. And I think that the United Nations picked a good guy when they elected my son to the tribal council.
Thanks, Ernie. That's amazing. So I have a question for you, Ernie. Ernie Stevens Jr. Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers?
I don't even see the question. Aaron Rodgers is still on the football field. Brett Favre is probably the greatest quarterback that ever walked this earth. But so I'm a Brett Favre guy. We are all friends of the family. So we love the Favres. I held hands with Benita Favre and prayed at her meal table down in Mississippi. So they're beautiful people. So we have a little, you know, close connection and a personal preference to them. So, but I'm just getting ready to slip on my Aaron Rodgers jersey. So I'm not sure. Maybe we're gonna, you know, it's just like we're blessed in Green Bay to have the best football team that has ever been. I think we won the most world championships. But don't get me started on the Packers.
Don't get me started. Okay. Well, Chairman, thanks for calling in. And, yes, your son is an amazing person. And I'm glad to have both of you on the show. And enjoy your games. And
okay.
We will probably we'll see you soon at G2E. I'll see you next week.
Yeah, G2E. Let me just say this closing. I guess this is Ernie's interview. Maybe I filibustered it, but his grandfather sat on the council before I ever did. His brother's been on the council for now his fourth term. But when I sat down with Ernest the other day, I really see a lot of my father in him. One of the things is that I don't have is an amazing memory like he has, and to read books. Ernest Sr. could read a book in one night. So that's what I sat when I saw him. So I guess, you know, if I had a question for Ernest III, I would say to him, where does he see the Oneida community in the near future, what is his feelings about that, the amazing work that he has to do as a tribal councilman with this new council that he is working with. How does he feel about the future?
Well, first of all, I appreciate the words and comments, and I think, for one, I feel very I can't think of a better word, but confident and somewhat comfortable, and yet inspired. But I know that it's not going to be easy, but I think that the future it looks good, you know, and I always do things from a long-term perspective, you know. On one hand, I'm doing what I have to do to make sure that things, you know, are functioning day to day. But with my left hand, I'm a lefty, by the way. My left hand, it's about my kids, it's about their kids, it's about my grandkids, great grandkids. So I'm doing those things in a bilateral fashion. So, you know, with regards to that and that philosophy, you know, I feel really good because, number one, you know, like Tino was alluding to before, is we have a lot of amazing leaders here at Oneida. You know, a lot of, and you know, many of them more so than I do. And I see leaders coming up behind us. So to me, you know, I feel comfortable in that. And it's pushing and doing our work and doing our jobs. And ensuring that those coming behind us have as much and hopefully more of a work ethic in continuing that. And at the end of the day, we have I feel very confident in our council. You know, Our chairman's doing a great job. Of course, you know, our vice chair, he's doing a good job as well. Everybody's doing good, and everybody has their focuses. I personally don't believe in honeymoons. You know, I got elected, I got right to work. And I think that's what drives me is, you know, we take every moment, every as much time as we can get to push things forward. But I do it with looking at my kids, looking at the kids that I coach, looking at my nieces and nephews, and looking at, you know, what kind of world are we going to leave them in. So that's what drives me, and I feel good that we're in a position to do that, because we, you know, we there's a lot of great people around us, and it takes that teamwork. I think we'll be fine.
Great. Thank you, Gino, and thank you, son. My wife is here with me. We're traveling, and it's, again, a great honor. There's nobody in this world that is more proud of our son than Cher Stevens. And I'll tell you what, I get all the credit because we share the name, but Cheryl Stevens is the leader of our family.
Great. Say hi to Cheryl for us, and we'll see you both next week. Thank you, Ernie. Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Go
all right,
Packs.
I'm signing off. All right.
All right. Go back.
Okay. Let's see what. That was cool, eh?
Yeah, that was a nice surprise.
Love your dad. He's a great guy. Known him for a long time. We've had a lot of conversations.
I got to tell you quick, too, that we were planning for this game tonight. We were planning a party for the game. My son, we're a hunter family. My wife and I both hunt. My kids are hunt. He just went on a youth hunt and he got a bear, a black bear. And
wow.
So we cut it up. We have it all in our freezer. Yeah, it's great. You know, and it's our first one. And you know, I may never get a bear. My son's 12 and he got a bear.
That's amazing.
So the whole thing
man.
Is we're gonna have a. Yeah, yeah. So we're going to have a Packer party, you know, have a few friends over, family, and then I was going to make some bear fajitas, some bear, you know, tacos, bear quesadillas.
That's amazing.
I'm halfway decent. Yeah, but my son, Ernest, he wanted to go over to his grandparents' house and we were going to cook it at the house and then bring it there. He wanted to bring it to them. And then, so that was the plan, and realizing that they were traveling, so we had to take a rain check for that, so we couldn't do that, but we'll be feeding them some of that bear soon enough, but just a little anecdote.
Yeah, that's great, man. I love that. Got some more people here who want to ask some questions. Hang on one sec.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to GT Radio. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. You have a question for
each of you? Oh, yes, of course. It was a really great interview. I really enjoyed it. I just have, like, one question. I was thinking, what do you think needs to be happen for a woman to be in more prominent position in gaming as a very new woman in gaming myself?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think in my experience, you know, from different industries, tourism, marketing, gaming, you know, all the different industries I've worked in. Personally, I've noticed that some of the most skilled, knowledgeable leaders in these industries are ladies. And I noticed that because in my own community, you know, at Oneida here, we're a matriarchal society. You know, we in the old days, you know, and we still live this way, but our women picked our leaders. You know, our women led us. They nurtured us. Like my dad said, you know, that was the same way for all families. So that's just how I think, you know, from my mom to my grandma Marge, my grandma Lois, my great grandma Maria, so many amazing, and of course my sisters, my wife, we have a lot of amazing, women leaders in our community. And in this position, I was nominated by someone I look up to, Loretta Matoxin. And so I think about that, and I don't know how to answer that except to say there's a place for in all these industries, for any industry, for the ladies across the country. And I think that you're just naturally gifted. There's a natural energy and power that, that you hold. And we honor that. We think that way. I think that's to me, you know, is what I see, you know, in individuals like that. You know, you just see it. There's just more of a presence and a power. And I think that's what God intended, you know. That's the best way I can answer that. Yeah.
Great, great question. What was your name again?
Oh, sorry. My name is Naila.
Naila, nice to meet you, Naila. And
very nice to meet you too. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Great
Hopefully
question.
I will see you
great
guys stuff. At G2E too.
yeah, look us up, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely look us up.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, that was really cool. We covered a lot. I guess, you know, you've got what I can say just from knowing you and knowing your whole family is that, you know, you have a great past and a greater future coming up, and you're newly in this position. I know you're going to do great things, and, you know, I hope to have you back on the show. And thanks so much for coming on the air. Really appreciate it, Ernie.
Well, you know, anytime, brother. You know, just you know, let me know, and I'll be honored to do it again. And I appreciate the time, and best to you and your family as well, and to Golly and to everybody over there. And I hope to see you at U2E. If not, I'll see you. You know, I'll see you soon after.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. And go Pack.
Absolutely, go Pack.
Take care, man.
Yeah. All right.
Bye bye. Well, that was great, and you got a little bit of a taste of the whole Ernie Stevens family. The Stevens family, the great people, great leadership, the whole Oneida Nation. Just a great, great group of people. We're just honored to have them on the show. And October 13th or something like that. I have Jeannie Dillard, a true powerhouse from the Choctaw Nation. And that's a must listen episode. It's going to be phenomenal. Anyways, have a good night. And remember, everybody's got a story to tell. You just have to have the time to listen. Good night and God bless.